You're listening to WMIE, today's Modern Worship, 91.5 FM.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
All together now, inhale, exhale, deep breath, relax, and let's get on with the weekend. How about that? Well, not quite yet. This is Friday, and pray that you plan on having a glorious weekend. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida, 165 North Grove Street. We're a couple of blocks north of 520. We are a couple of blocks west of Home Depot on Grove Street, and we're a couple of blocks south of Mila, which we're on the corner of Grove and Tangerine. And if you type 165 in period Grove Street, you can find us just about with any smartphone that you have. And so we would like to invite you out. This will be our fifth Sunday, so we'll be having our fifth Sunday celebration this coming Sunday. The last time we tried that, a hurricane came through, and so we're hoping to avoid that. The last time we were going to have a celebration of this nature was going to be back in October, I believe it was. So my, how time flies when you are having fun. But anyway, we would like to invite you out. If you do not have a church home, please consider Merritt Assembly of God. I am, here on the radio, it's just me, a computer, a microphone, and some lights and a timer. So I'm in a chair and kind of restrained here, but I bring the same sort of passion to my Sunday morning preaching, but I have a wireless microphone there, and so I'm a little more mobile in my preaching. Right now, we do have Sunday school at 9:30. We have worship service at 10:30, children's church at 10:30. We are not doing our Sunday night services except on special occasion at this point in time. So Wednesday nights at 7 is our discipleship class. We would love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing. We are blessed, and we are blessed to be a blessing. And so, with that, if you are considering getting a church home, or if you're new to the area and haven't found a church, we would love for you to come and visit us and pray and see if this would be the place that God would have you to be anchored and rooted and growing in Christ Jesus. So to the Word of God we go, and we have been going for quite some time on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. We are at the point in Matthew chapter 7, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness, who act as if the law of God does not exist and that it does not pertain to you. That's the way that you get removed from the presence of God, and we've just talked about for the past several days things that separate us from God, and we need to be separated to the things of God, not separated from the things of God. So today we're going to move on to the next verse. We're doing a little bit of a mini study here. I think it was I don't remember exactly when it was. It was a few weeks ago, and I don't remember exactly where it was, but I saw a headline about a major city, and the headline, and I don't know who made the headline or anything like that, it declared that this city was lawless. Now, I will tell you from personal experience that having known me my entire life, that if you tell me that there is a place that is operating with no rules, that there is no restraining force in operation in that environment at all, I'm not going to be a part of that. If it's violating God's word, I have no interest in it whatsoever. And so lawlessness is not just a term that you find in the Bible. It is an end time spirit that we see that is in operation right now in many parts of the world and in many parts of America. Just make sure that it's not operating in your heart. So let's look at Matthew chapter 24. We're going to read for some context here, and then we'll begin tackling our next section of scripture for understanding here. In verse number 4 of Matthew chapter 24, it says, "And Jesus answered and said to them, Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. Then the end will come." So I want you, when you are looking at these, at this passage, this section began because the disciples were very impressed with the building of the temple, the physical engineering and the ornateness, the size of it, the duration of the construction. They were quite impressed with all of that. And Jesus says to him in verse number 2, "Do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down." Our goal here in this life is not to build edifices. It's not to build buildings and things like that that will eventually crumble and fall and you know, I think it was back in, I think it was in December. There was a large structure had been in Merritt Island for as long as I had been in Merritt Island. So it had been here for over 30 years and we knew that the building was coming down. And I was driving my wife by a few days after I had taken a picture of it. I took a picture to send it to her showing that they were beginning demo on it. And then I forgot to send it. And so she had a day off and we were driving down the road where this building was being demoed and she was left breathless. It was like, and you know, something that had been there for decades was suddenly gone. Someone had put a lot of work into that structure. It had changed hands a time or two. And all of a sudden, you know, at some point in time, there is going to be no remnant left of that building whatsoever. We are to be building what is going to last for an eternity. And I know that buildings are important. They have purpose and they have function, but they are temporary. What you build for the kingdom of God will last. And so you don't want moth and rust and thieves having a negative impact on the things you spent your life to accomplish. In verse number 3, it says, "Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?'" By the way, there are three different questions there. When will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming? And what will be the sign of the end of the age? Those are three different questions. Jesus answered. So let me just give you the quick thing. Tell us, when will these things be? We're always concerned about timing, and the only aspect about timing that we really need to be concerned about is if God has said now and we've said no, that's a timing problem. If we are saying now and God is saying no, that is also a timing problem. So our timing problems, our timing is not to be our concern other than saying yes to whatever God has asked us to do at that point in time. So Jesus says, "Take heed that no one deceives you." So if you start looking at end time events, you've got to realize that there is a high level of deceptiveness that is taking place. In one of Paul's epistles, he writes and he says, "In the last days, many people will be following deceiving spirits." So deception is going to be functioning at a very, very high level. And he says, make sure that no one deceives you. How do you know if you are being deceived? In my very first youth pastorate, I was talking to some people at the end of the hall. I was on my way down to the youth building. I was the youth pastor, or into the youth room. And I watched with my very own eyes as one of the young men at the end of the hall did something to another young person, and I called them down there and I said, "Don't be doing that." He looked me square in the eye and he said, "I didn't do that." I said, "Dude, I saw you. I'm the witness here. He didn't budge. He was better at lying than he was at telling the truth. The devil is a liar. He is very, very good at distorting and contorting the truth so that you do not, necessarily know whether he's telling you the truth or not. Well, here's the way to know if the devil's telling you the truth. If he's speaking, he's lying. Even if he's telling you something that sounds true, he will be using inflections and things like that to get you to doubt the veracity of what God has told you. Don't be deceived. The way that we know whether we are being deceived or not is not because of our great sensory capabilities. It's because of the Word of God. If you and I hold up the standard that says this, if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, I'm not believing it, then we are in a very safe place. "For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many." So there are going to be people with a messianic complex. There's going to be people with a messianic message. They're going to be deceived themselves to think that they are the Christ, that they are the anointed one of God. And they would be doing that because Satan wanted to be like God. Had one of the greatest positions ever, and he wanted God's position instead of the position assigned to him. And so he will continue to deceive individuals, and then those individuals will go out and deceive many, many other people. He says, "And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars." I can tell you this, as long as there is godlessness, there's going to be wars. There's going to be strife. There's going to be conflict. And so there are going to be wars. There's wars going on now. There are wars that are going on right now that really the only thing that is at stake is someone's pride. It was wars that were raged out of selfish ambition instead of out of some sort of moral obligation. And as a result of that, you know, the whole world is on edge. There are people right now who are planning for future wars. War is ugly. War is ugly. And the bad thing about war is that people die, and many of those people that die are not ready to meet Jesus. We hear of wars and rumors of wars, and so that means that the end is a lot closer now than it ever was. Jesus here says this: "See that you are not troubled, for all of these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." So these sorts of headlines, these sorts of behaviors and deceptions and wars, they are not to trouble us. They are not to create anxiety inside of us. Jesus is saying, look, everything that happens is already planned by God for it to come to pass. It's already on God's calendar. He says, but that's not the end yet. That's not the end yet. So verse number 7 says, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. So my understanding of the word nation is a group of people. So there is one group of people rising up another group of people. That could be geographical. It could be chronological. It could be people who just speak different languages. It could be people who are just jealous of what the other people have. It could be all about a matter of control. You know, I've heard it said, I wonder what God could get accomplished if people weren't so concerned about who was going to get the credit. I want you to think about that. What could God accomplish if we as human beings weren't so concerned about who was going to get the credit? Now, I have an interesting philosophy. It would never fly in 2022, but I think that if you wanted to see Congress actually function the way that it was designed to function, that basically what you need to do is put people in a room and tell them you don't get to talk to the press. You don't get to go out and distribute this information so that you can build your own following and things like that. And all of a sudden, I think you would find that there would be a lot more productivity when it comes to principles. We have become very polarized in our politics because we're very polarized in our society because we've marginalized God. And so there's always going to be people rising up against other people. It talks about there will be famines. And now I've told you before that there are some famines that come because of atmospheric conditions. In other words, there's not enough rain or there's too much rain. It's too hot or it's too cold. All of those can have negative effects on crop yields. There are some famines that have been created because one nation or one kingdom wanted to take over another nation or another kingdom. And just like they did with Gideon in the book of Judges, they come in and steal the crop, or if they couldn't steal the crop, they came to destroy the crop. Because if all the people died of starvation, then they would just come in and take over the land. food was a major warfare strategy in ancient times. They would come to a fortified city, and you know what you don't do in a fortified city? You don't grow your own crops, and you don't have your own livestock. And so they would come in, they would cut off the water flow into the city, and they would eliminate access to the crops and to the food supply. And you can go a few days without eating, but there's a limited amount of days that you can operate without water. So Hezekiah in the Old Testament, he got so tired of Jerusalem coming under attack and having siege laid to it, that he actually created an aqueduct system that would bring water into the city of Jerusalem whenever these people tried to lay siege against it. And so there are many times when people just eliminated the crops, and then they wondered why people were in desperate situation. Well, there's not only famines, but there are also pestilences. Those can be attacks of diseases, or the word there, pest, P-E-S-T. So like the, you know, locusts came in and consumed in Egypt, and they still have mass migrations of locusts and grasshoppers and things like that. All of these things, and throw in earthquakes in there as well, and you have what the Bible describes here are the beginning of sorrows. Now, I've known a lot of people. I don't know too many people that like the beginning of sorrows. I know a lot of people that really rejoice when their sorrow comes to an end. Jesus is setting the stage that right before he returns, this world is going to be suffering the consequences for ignoring the command and the law of God, and society and creation begins to break down, and it's getting ready to get really, really ugly. So what do people do when things are getting very bad? They look for someone to blame. And in verse number 9, it says, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. So what it describes here is that they are going to be looking at believers as the problem instead of looking towards God as being the solution. Folks, I'm here to tell you, I have never in my decades of living seen such a swift mindset shift that has happened here in America, where now it is not only that people don't believe in God, we've gone from a predominantly Christian country to now we are approaching a majority of people actually filled with violence and hatred towards God and the people of God. I can't, you know, I can't deny him just to make you happy. And I hope that you can't deny him to make anybody else happy. I've had a number of people, some of them related to me. My daughter went to college, and she came home, and I said, "So you've been around and you've visited a number of churches in the town where you went to school at." I said, "Is there anything that you've picked up over there that we could adjust or we could tweak over here that would help us to grow the kingdom?" And I'll never forget, she said, "Dad, you would have to change what you preach. And you can't do that. You shouldn't do that. And I won't do that. It, you know, if falling spiritually is the price that is required to reach the masses, I'm not willing to pay that price. If sacrificing my family is what is required, I'm not willing to make that sacrifice. And if compromising the message of the Word of God is necessary, then I tell you what, I'm just going to continue to occupy my post at Merit Assembly of God and preach the truth and live the truth and impact as many people as I can. But I am not abandoning the Word of God just because people have grown deaf to its message and hardened their hearts and prevented themselves from receiving the forgiveness that could be theirs. So in their hostility towards God, they are going to hate the people of God. They are going to threaten you, arrest you, and kill you. Let me tell you what a person told me one time. They said, as a messenger of the Lord Jesus Christ, I can't lose. If you hurt me, Jesus will heal me. If you kill me, I get to go to heaven and be with Jesus. I can't lose. But by preaching the message of Jesus Christ and the forgiveness that's available in his name, I have every possibility of winning souls for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's why we do this. We do this because there are people who are deceived that need to know the truth. And if someone's lying and you come along and say, you know what, they're not telling you the truth, they might not believe you for a long time. They might even suppress the truth for a long time. We've seen that recently. But sooner or later, eyes are going to be opened and people are not going to be able to say, you didn't tell us, you didn't warn us. All of a sudden, their eyes will be open and say, you know what? Out of all of the people, there were some people who were telling us the truth, and that was the people who knew Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The gospel of Jesus Christ is good in good times, and it is good in the most difficult of times. It's good when Jesus was alive. It was good for the apostles. It's good now. It will be good in the end times. Anchor yourselves to the Word of God that is settled forever in heaven and on earth. And don't worry about the consequences. You just keep your eyes fixed on Jesus Christ. You have a great weekend. Hopefully we'll see you at church on Sunday. If we don't, we'll see you back here Monday on the Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merit Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merit Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.